Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real things that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's what this is all about. We've got, I have in the studio a guy who has been battling this colds and attacks from the, the viruses and everything else in the world that take place. But he's here today in strength, ready to go at it. Duke, my brother.
Good morning.
let's get this thing going. There we go. So it's been a while since you've been here. You've got to even get the microphone in front of you.
I got it.
There you go.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm doing outstanding.
Yeah, you sound good.
Yeah.
I know
when
I talked to you the last couple of weeks on the phone, it was like, okay, yes.
Well, God created this miracle body that will heal itself if you take care of it and let it.
Yes. Yeah. Got to give it time.
Amen.
Got to rest in the Lord and stuff. We got a topic today talking about defeat. The agony of defeat, is it a blessing or is it a curse type of thing? And we're going to talk about that. I think all of us can actually relate to defeat. And there's a couple different windows we can look at it through. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of just go that path, because sometimes defeat will actually put us in a tailspin. And other times it's about wanting to put something up to get or giving it to the Lord in a sense. So we'll get into that here momentarily. And I wanted to ask, do you have any encouragement for the men? Because you gave me a couple of things already this morning, just talking before we got on the air.
I did. What were they?
Come on, man. About the guys that take care of business when you're when you're not in it.
Isn't that something?
How men gather together seriously, on a Wednesday night. All right.
Yeah.
And this is what I love about the fellowship that takes place with men who are like-minded with a vision and a goal in mind. That they eventually see the vision of the leader. In this case here, it's you. You shepherd this group of men. And you have men there that could actually shepherd their own little group. But it's about the fact that you shepherd on this particular night with this group of men that see the same vision.
Well, I guess the encouragement is all of the, what you're referring to, is all of the plans that we had for that particular night were thwarted. That is, I was ill, my guest speaker called at the last minute and bailed. I had a guest host that was going to be for the very first time. There was just a number of events, and one of the guys that I talked on the phone about this brought clarity to that encouragement. And this is how brothers work, you guys. I'm talking to this guy. He's got a broken tooth. He's on his way south. He's one of the guys that's supposed to help out. And he says, I'm sorry I can't. But he said, let's pray right now that Satan does not get a foothold in all of these occurrences. In other words, let's still have the faith and go forward that there is a purpose even in this.
Yes.
And that men will still gather, and what the Holy Spirit wants to have happen is going to happen as long as we continue to have faith in that. Yeah. This guy prayed with me over the phone that prayer, and within a matter of an hour, all the pieces fell together so that the fellowship would go forward just as God had ordained it to. So,
yeah.
It was cool to see that happen and then to hear the praise reports from the guys of how well it came together.
Yeah. And, there's something that takes place that when God knows that a job needs to get taken care of, he fills it in. And it's not about me, and it's not about you in the scenes, because the men who are, again, they see and they sense the vision. They know the you know what needs to take place, and the passion and love they have for getting word out to others. Okay, that just takes over, and that is such a blessing. It's such a blessing to be able to know that. And so welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you for being who you are. And those men down there, I know they appreciate it also, because they know truthfully that what you walk your talk. And when that takes place, men sit there and go, yes, this is something I want. I want what he has. I don't know if I'm willing to go through what he went through to get it, but I want what he has. So we hope that they actually decide that no matter what, that there is a God, and that God lives in them if they've already accepted him.
So, amen. So, amen.
All right. Segue right into this topic of defeatism, in a sense. How do we get to this
The agony of defeat. Well, you just said it here a minute ago with the fact that the guys, you know, continued on. And had faith.
Yes.
And that's really what so much of what we do in this walk comes to is having that faith. A faith is a mustard seed, as Jesus told us. Well, the agony defeat topic came through an experience of a friend of mine that's getting a divorce. And in our line of ministry, of course, that's a part of the landscape that we see all too frequently is the husband and wife having struggles. And we can be faithful and diligent in following God's instruction. He hates divorce. He hates this. He doesn't want, you know, this to happen. He's a God of reconciliation, not division. But what do you do when even the most faithful prayer warrior finds that his wife says, I don't care, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And she divorces him anyway, even though he was holding steadfast to the prayer that God was going to heal that relationship.
Yeah.
That's what came to mind with the agony defeat. What do you do with that when you're at that place when you're so sure that it's God's will that X works out, and then it doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
That's the title of the agony of defeat that I came up with that made me think, okay, what do I do? Now, we experience that in little ways. All the time, but it's the big ones, I guess. The faithful guy, and you know what? You've said it before about making God deals. Well, Lord, if I do this, then you'll grant me this, or this will go well. Or oftentimes, even last night as we spoke about this topic, most of the comments came from you sow what you reap kind of thing. A little bit of it was tainted with, are you sure you're not being disciplined or punished?
Yeah.
Wow. So what do you do with that?
Well, you drop back 5 yards and punt.
Well, you know that there is all these encouragements about how to endure this.
Yeah. And well, you know, a big part of what ends up taking place, and this isn't about trying to he gave us an idea of what this looks like and how this topic came. But we're not here to talk about this gentleman, this brother who is actually going through a divorce, in a sense. It's about being dropped a bomb in a sense. And we all receive that in a certain way. So we're not going to be talking necessarily about, you know, marriage problems and everything. Because here's the deal. This is what it's about. It's about the precepts and the principles of what's actually taking place. When all of a sudden there is something that is no longer going to be the way that you thought it would be, or maybe doesn't go in line with what you had expected it to be, or what maybe everyone had expected it to be, and all of a sudden there's this thing that is thrown in there. Where does it come from? The Lord allows it, okay, for a purpose. That's the first thing I have to try to look at when things take place in my life like this that are thrown at me. Like, where did this come from? You know? And
Hanging on to Romans 8:28.
Which is?
All things work out for his good. For
yes.
His will.
As long as we're seeking to do his will. You know, there is a you know, there are certain things that have to take place. We don't sit there and say everything's going to turn into being God's going to be glorified, because that's not true. If there are evil people that are doing evil things all the time, and the ones that they're doing it for are the people who want evil and all that, that does not necessarily turn into something that is glorifying
God. So we have to participate here.
Yeah, the participation is the submission and surrender and seeking God. You know, it's in, well, here it is right here, in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's the vine and the branches. You know, I've got to stay connected with the Lord, okay? In doing so, when things do come, okay, and they will, there are going to be challenges. You've had them. You know, you just came out of one. One of the pastors that used to come and speak at times, he says, if you're not, you know, coming out of darkness or in a challenge in your life, you're heading into one, you know. So there's kind of like a pause in between these things. So there are going to be continual challenges. That's the world that we live in, especially the fact that we are seeking to let others know of the hope of Jesus Christ in relationship with him. When they see the things that have happened in our lives as a result of our surrender and submission to God, right? So in doing so, when I can be mindful of what it is I need to be doing, like staying connected to the Lord, he says, abide in me. You know, this is in John 15, and I will abide in you. That means that I need to stay connected to him. And the more often that I am aware of that, no matter what it is that I'm doing, whether I'm working or whether I'm playing or whether whatever it is, if I'm doing it for the glory of God, in other words, if I'm working, I'm doing it, hey, I may be working for my employer who gives me a check, but if I'm doing this, Lord, to do the best I can so that you are pleased with what I am doing, and, you know, guess what? He's going to bless me. He's going to give me the strength. He's going to give me the focus. He's going to give me everything I need to be able to get the job done the way that it is meant to be done, right? As a result of that, my employer is going to look at me, or my boss is going to say, hey, I like your work. I like what you do. You know, your children are going to say, hey, Dad, thanks for spending time with me and doing some of the things that you're doing. Thanks for coming to my concert. Thank you for blessing me, you know, by giving me and my buddies a ride over to this or that. You know, they are going to see and sense the love. And that's truly what we're all looking for, okay? And when we do that, we realize that it's because we're staying connected to the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't good people doing good things out there that maybe don't know the Lord. Yeah, you know, but the thing is, I think in the long haul, when things start to really take place, what I really need is I need that Savior who has actually taken and given me, pulled me out of that muck and mire, right? Shook me off a little bit and stuck me on the rock. Okay, where there's security, where there's a sense of, okay, I'm no longer in that pit, I'm here, and now I've got an opportunity, there's hope. And that's what this relationship with Jesus Christ brings.
Amen, amen. You know, I gotta say that some of the most common struggles that I see out there, and in my own life and yours too, have been that, I don't know, a healthy expectation that if we're faithful, yes, and we petition God with our needs and desires, what father would give his son a stone when he asks for bread?
Yes.
But then we also know that even Jesus Christ is on his knees in prayer to the Father, says, take this cup from me. In other words, what God had ordained wasn't going to change. Even Jesus did not want to go through the hardship that
he had
to go through.
That's right.
And he prayed not to go through it. But yet he
for just a moment,
of course,
because that's his human.
That's his heart.
Amen.
And he was us in the flesh while he was here, and I think that's one of the examples that gives us courage.
Because you and I both know when we're aware that we're going to go through the grinder, in a sense.
Yes.
We want to do everything. Can time stop? Can I go in reverse? Is there anything else I could do to not have to go through the grinder? That's but no. You're going to have to go through the grinder. And that's where Jesus, in a sense, he knew that, you know what, the best way for me now is to just continue to ask, you know, his Father for everything he needs to be able to go through that.
And, you know, there's the struggle right there, the challenge that I guess what we're all faced with, that even though Jesus, as our example, explained to the disciples this was going to happen,
yes,
that he was urging them to embrace a greater wisdom in it that he tried to tell them. But even after the event occurred, even after he was crucified,
yes,
they forgot that promise.
Yes.
The world has so conditioned us that it makes it difficult to be steadfast, to have that faith as a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so the challenge that I'm finding, and even in this particular situation, is goes to so many different experiences where you really do feel that you're giving it all the faith that you have, all of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And trying not to have the expectation that it's going to turn out the way you want it,
yeah,
but hopeful in the promise that we're to live abundantly, yeah, and that God doesn't want bad things to happen. But then he allows the curve to come. He allows the bomb to drop, the other shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, that's at that time that we're really challenged with, okay, where's the wisdom in this, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to bring light in what appears to be all this darkness? There's got to be listeners out there that are experiencing this stuff right
mm-hmm.
now
mm-hmm.
and going, okay, I've been believing, I've been faithful, what is up with this?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, in my case, I know that where I go with that stuff is to other brothers.
Yeah. Yeah,
And I seek that wisdom.
And that's where that encouragement comes in, and that's why it's so important, in a sense, as men who are walking this path that seems to get narrower and narrower all the time, okay? It just gets tighter and tighter because there are going to be fewer. They're going to be going down it, okay? But you happen to be one of them, and you are chosen. And God wants you to continue to seek him. He said, I'll give you everything that you need. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. I'm going to see to it that you're going to be taken care of. That doesn't mean that things aren't going to take place, because I'm refining you. I'm sharpening you. I'm making you stronger, because I have work in store, kingdom work. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to continue talking about this sort of thing, about kingdom work and about really what is that God has in store for us. Man, do we have an answer today? We'll find out. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hempler's.com.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Duke and Raul, and we're talking about this thing called defeat and where it is that where it's taken us, and why do we have to go through these things? You know, why is it that it has to take place? And I had mentioned just before we went to a break that there are things that take place because God has a purpose for our lives. You know, we were created by Him. He didn't just all of a sudden just say, oh, yeah, let's make this one and that one. Let's name him Duke, name him Raul, and name him Bill, make him Jeff. And no, He had a purpose for each one of us and to fulfill it, because that's why He's given us life. And He put us on this world, in this life, to be able to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. And when I go in another direction, I believe there are certain things that God allows to take place in our lives to try to get our attention, to come back and get connected into the vine, okay? You know, to realize that, wait a minute, I need that sustenance. I need all that that vine provides for me. If I was a branch and I got cut off from that, guess what? I'm going to wither and die. Bible talks about that, uses that as an analogy. Gets thrown into the fire. It's of no use.
But that's an example of somebody that may be moving away from the Lord, and because God has a plan, He's got to allow circumstances to, hopefully He'll get weak and draw to the Lord and reel him back in.
Yes.
What about the guy that isn't out there in left field, that he is
seeking to do
the Lord's work. He's doing kingdom work.
Then all of a sudden, boom.
Something like that's the why do bad things happen to good people thing.
Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And it says here that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. That's that greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. If I'm walking the path and if I'm doing God's will, this stuff is going to come. I'm going to know it because, see, I've been wanting to know the Lord. Oh, what do you mean knowing the Lord? Well, the way of knowing the Lord is spending time with Him, spending time in His Word, spending time with people who know Him and they talk about Him and how He has influenced their lives. Okay, this is where you come to the knowledge of the Lord. Okay, and as a result of that, if I am living that way and these things come, I'm going to be reminded of these things by other brothers who I'm in fellowship with. Because you know what? They want the very best for me. They don't know what's necessarily the right thing for my life, because only God knows that. But they know how to be able to point me in the direction and remind me of what I need to go to. So it's not about having an answer. You know, I tell you, some of the things that I end up having to look at today, and let me tell you, it is not easy to do. And this isn't about a boasting for Raul, this is boasting for the Lord. Is that when something that throws a curve at me or drops a bomb in my life that I don't expect, and anything can happen at any given time, I have to actually take a look. What is it that Lord, that you want me to pay attention to? What is it that you want me to learn from this? Did I handle a situation the way that you wanted me to handle it? Or am I to forgive somebody when they're not asking for forgiveness? Am I supposed to receive forgiveness when someone says, I forgive you? You know, do I think that I'm not worthy of that? So I just keep out of, you know, all of these sort of, those are just a couple of things, but there are so many things that could be taking place in our lives.
But you're asking those things because you're steadfast in the belief and promise that God has a purpose, that as He chose you, you didn't choose Him, and that He's going to take whatever those experiences are and turn them to good, the Romans 8:28.
Yep.
Okay. And so a guy's gotta have that knowledge, be armed with that. No matter what, I know God's got my back. It doesn't make sense right now because this hurts.
Right, but that's why we need the fellowship. That's why men need fellowship. That's why you look and trying to get men to do the things that outside of a Sunday sometimes. If a guy comes to church, that's good. That's really, really good. Because the majority of guys will just send off the wife and the kids. You know, it's the mother's part to teach them and to get them. And I'm just going to stay home or go golfing or do whatever, fishing, whatever it might be. Okay? But if a guy comes to church, that's good. That's really, really good. Now, if he actually reads the Word of God, because that's what the pastor is usually trying to get them to do it, then that is even better. okay? He gathers together with another man to fellowship, or even other men to fellowship together as a group. It gets better and better and better. The more light I'm actually bringing into my life on a daily basis, the less darkness there is. It's just a fact of life, right? I'm in a room, it's all dark, I flip on the light, guess what flees? The darkness flees, okay? If it's a large room and there's shadows over in the corner, I turn on a light over in that part of the room. Guess what? The shadows leave, right? You know. So my point is, what took a long time for me to finally realize is that the more that I get of him staying connected in that vine, whatever means that is, I need to do it. It's not so much survival as that I'm still, again, wanting to do his will in my life. And his will, we're going to find out what that is one day at a time with him.
You know, there's such growth and wisdom in all of that you said. This evolution or this journey of whatever those battles are, Isaiah sums it up in 26:3, where he says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you."
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
You keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So this perfect peace, that's the James 1, 2 through 3, where you'll find joy in the eye of the storm
and everything.
The challenges.
Yep.
So this perfect peace proposition, man, it sure doesn't seem like that when the other shoe drops or the bomb comes out of nowhere.
And those are the things where, well, let's look at it this way. You know, I know that you mentioned before the analogy of Paul saying, you know, when we look and listen to Paul's story, and when we read it, and we don't necessarily see it, but we read it, sometimes we can relate with it, and sometimes we can't, okay? We can relate with certain parts of what his experiences are, but then there's the part where he talks about all the challenges that he went through, right? You know, having been in shipwrecks, having been stoned.
Well, in prison, you know, beaten, in prison, stoned, shipwreck, hungry, cold.
All these different things, right?
Yeah.
And you sit there and you mention, well, I can't relate with any of that. But see, the process of what he went through, okay, is in a sense sort of like a metaphor. What is it that I can actually relate to what my life is like? Have I ever felt like I may have never been stoned before, but when I've been ridiculed and kidded in such a manner by my coworkers or my friends, in a sense, that were very hurtful? You know, they say, oh yeah, sticks and stones may hurt, you know, break my bones, but words will never hurt, or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. But the words, they do hurt, okay?
Yeah.
My point being is that we may not have experienced shipwreck, okay? But have we ever felt something? Can you only imagine what that might be like, of true loneliness, of thinking that, man, this is it. I'm going to die right now. My life is coming to an end. You've been in a situation like that. I believe we all have been, okay? And the reason I say that is because I believe that the people who are listening to the show right now have accepted Jesus as their Savior and their Lord, okay? Or maybe just their Savior, that he actually pulled you out. Revelations 2:4, the verse that we use right now, that I hold this against you, that you have forgotten your first love. If we think back from the time that we first accepted Jesus, did he not take us out of that place we were at, and that feeling of just, whoa, there is hope in my life. I am forgiven. I am going to live for eternity, and I am going to be able to be in heaven with him. And now life takes its toll right after that. The temptations come, the challenges come, and all of a sudden, how do I deal with this? What do I do with that? You know, and that's where all these answers come from, the manual that he gave us, right, the Bible, and fellowship, because he says in the manual, to gather together. Don't stop meeting this way, you know. Gather together in my name, and then see if I don't show up, you know.
Well, isn't part of the wisdom having it work through that way? Because at first blush, that is not was not anyway my first thoughts when challenging him. When I first received Jesus Christ and was elated with that knowledge, mm-hmm. there was, because of the way that it was brought to me, there is nothing but a hopeful proposition here.
Yes.
What I needed was somebody to say, okay, now that you've accepted Jesus Christ, get ready for the biggest battles that you'll have because mm-hmm. you're going to be looking through a different set of eyes
yep.
at
yep.
these things.
Yep.
And then to find that there's a proposition for joy in that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a minute. I just accepted him because I thought things would go a little bit better for me
mm-hmm.
if I was more obedient to God's word.
Yeah.
You mean that my blessings will actually come in more persecution?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I know that one of the challenges that puts us in not so much doubt as maybe does he really love me enough? You know, we read the Bible. We read stories of Paul. We read stories of David. We read stories about Job. We read stories about Joseph. We read stories about Abraham. Okay, and Moses, okay, we of all these men that are in the Bible and what they had experienced. And sometimes we sit there and go, whoa, wait a minute. That is similar to what my life was like. I mean, what guy has not lusted over a woman and tried to get to know who she was, to find out that if, you know, there's a chance that he might be able to have sex with her, okay, with nobody knowing it, you know? King David, hello,
yeah.
You know, we see the more that we try to find the differences that I don't relate with that, I think that's where all the more I need to get into the word even more, and especially in fellowship with other men to get their idea and their take on that sort of thing.
Yeah, otherwise it is too easy to find yourself going, well, that's not supposed to happen to me.
Yes, yes.
This isn't. No, this doesn't work for me, yeah. kind of thing, right?
Yeah, that's it. Let's take another break. Let's take our last break here, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about a few things on about this thing about, you know, being destroyed. Is it a blessing or is it a curse? Well, we'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Could it possibly be? We simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap him up in righteousness. But that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made. The cross has made.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. This is Raul and Duke.
So it occurs to me
yes.
that the only way that we can sustain our faith and belief is to, I guess, hang on to the promise that God chose us, we didn't choose him, and whatever it is, it's not that we're just to endure hardship as Paul did, but that we've got to be open to the proposition that God has a purpose in this, and it's usually to use us, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I mean, that's the whole reason that we're here. You know, we didn't choose him. He chose us. He created us. And he wants everyone to come to know him. I'd like to think that the men that are listening, I just want to remind you, you do not have a hardened heart. And the fact is that there is hope, but you think the enemy is going to just let you get, you know, go by without you know, being challenged and questioning everything that you're doing? Yes, because he knows our weaknesses. Oh, praise God that we have the story about the guy that we were talking about before that had all the shipwrecks and everything and said, Lord, Lord, take this thorn from my side. He asked him three times. And Jesus finally answered, let him know that it's my grace that is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. Not your grace, not anybody else's grace, but my grace is all that you need. Okay? And then he reminds him on the same, what he's saying there in the scripture is that it's through your weaknesses that my power is perfected. Wow. It's through my weakness. So Paul says, all the more reason I'm going to boast about my weaknesses that I'll be boasting for the Lord. That's my little take on how, what that says there. But that's really what it comes down to. I've got to be willing to say, you know, I'm weak in this area. I don't know where I've messed up. But I know that I'm not perfect. But I'm willing to take a look at it. Lord, I want to be able to let others know how you came into my life and took care of business by reminding me of who I need to rely on, and that is you. And as a result of that, we get the opportunity to be able to see how God is going to be glorified as a result of what I'm going through. Now, mind you, God's perfect timing is what is important. We may know what somebody may need to do. And we may even think that we need to tell them right now what that is. But you know what? There's something about waiting on the Lord, on his timing, not ours. Waiting on the Lord. You don't think he's going to prompt you if you're supposed to be the vessel that's supposed to be speaking into somebody else's life or to take an action you need to, you don't think he's going to let you know that? You need to trust in him.
Well, and it's the self-check. It's 2 Corinthians 4:16 kind of nutshells that. It says, so that we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So our outer self is under attack in the world, living in that. Yeah. And we have to not lose heart and hold on to the proposition that that's that refining by fire. We are being renewed day by day as long as we continue, as you said, abiding in him as he does in us. And then know that he's going to use this powerfully as the testimonies of all those men you mentioned in Scripture. Right. We're our own walking testimony for all of our brothers and our families to see as well. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. You know, and this is, you know, part of the what takes place. The Lord wants us, first and foremost, to come and seek the Lord with all your heart, strength, mind, with everything that you've got. That is the most important thing.
Yes.
Seeking me with everything that you've got, okay? And the second is like it, to love others as you love yourself. Or to simplify it even more, to think of others more highly than yourself, okay? Because really, those are the only two that all 10 commandments that he gave that you'll read in the Old Testament fall under both of those, loving God and helping others. That's it. Nothing else. Nowhere in there does it say about me. I get my slice of the pie.
Yes.
No, it's about, and what is this world telling us all the time? What are all the ads that we see, all the everything in the world that's going on? You can have your pleasure. You can have your satisfaction. You can have your happiness. You can have your great retirement. You can have all of these things. But if you only purchase this, if you only believe in us, and let us show you how to be able to do this. It's only going to cost you $19.95 every day for the rest of your life. You know, my point being is that there's one and only one, okay? In Philippians 4:13. Don't be misconstrued with this or misunderstand this. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. There is only one that strengthens us, okay? I can do all things. That means that there isn't anything. When all is, means all, everything. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, some guys say, oh, here comes the catch. It's not a catch. It's just a requirement. The only way of being able to get his strength is that if you're connected to him. The only way you get his strength, if you're connected to that vine, the only way of getting his strength is that you actually are showing that you love him by being obedient to him and following what his word says for us to do on a daily basis. And then all these things, and he'll let us know as time comes. He's not going to give you meat to eat when you're only drinking milk. You're not going to be able to chew the meat or be able to even, you know, swallow it, okay? You'll end up spitting it out because it just doesn't fit. You need to have the milk first and to grow and get to that place of realizing that you now, hey, look, I got teeth. Now I can chomp on things and chew, okay?
And there's the journey. There's the race that we run.
That's it. And that's what it is that we need to do as far as being able to stay connected with others. We try to do this by ourselves. It doesn't work. We're going to get tired of it. We're going to get tired of doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Well, you need to change the whole thing up. Bring Jesus into the forefront of all that you do. And pay attention to what he's saying to you through his word. Seek others who are seeking him also. You'll find them usually at a church, usually in a ministry, in a men's ministry. You can ask your senior pastor. He'll point you in the direction of someone who can guide you and help you out, or maybe you might be able to connect with. Maybe you've been in prison and no one else at church, you think that no one else has been in prison. You might be surprised to find out from your senior pastor that there are other men that have been in prison that you can relate with. You might have think that you're the only one that has a challenge with pornography. You check with your senior pastor, and you may find out that you are one among many that are having that challenge on a daily basis. This is what the enemy doesn't want you to know. He wants you to think that you're unique, there is no hope in you, that you are lost, and you might as well just give up. Well, you know what? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's his strength that comes through, but it's only through our weaknesses. So we have to submit to him, admit our weaknesses, and in doing so, let me tell you, you're going to be doing exactly what he wants you to be doing.
Amen. Amen. And those examples are because guys like you and I, and many of the listeners, and the guys that we have sought out, have been through those battles. This is where no sin is not uncommon to man. This is the other hope in this proposition of how can you handle the agony of defeat is knowing that you think that you're unique and you're the only one that's gone through this challenge. I'll tell you what, I don't think there's been even the uniqueness of the challenges that there's not been an experience that you can't find somebody else has had that you're having.
Yeah. Here's a promise, another promise. And you know what? The New Testament, the whole Bible is full of promises from the Lord in seeking him. 1 Corinthians 10, know this. You're never, ever going to get rid of temptation. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be there to a certain degree, maybe less, fewer times, but it's still going to be there. But here's the promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man.
Yeah.
God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Okay? So, brother, with him, you can not only receive the strength, but he'll give you the endurance that comes from the strength that he gives you. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not the only one that's ever experienced this, you know? So our hope in today is that we realize how much he loves us, that we had accepted him at one time to be our Savior. And we don't want to have forgotten who our first love was. It is him, okay? And that we want to get back to that. Allow him to discipline you, because some of the things that you may be going through is because he wants to discipline you, so that you can be ready for what's ahead. But along with that discipline, that's his way of showing that he loves you.
Same as a father shows his love to his child.
Amen.
Through that discipline. Yeah. Doesn't mean that they're doing everything wrong.
That's right.
But you've got to be guided. Amen.
Yes. And you know, our Lord does not discipline us out of anger or emotion. Like maybe our fathers did, or sometimes maybe we did as fathers, okay? And it is truly out of love. And that's the type of love that we want to be able to discipline our children with, okay?
Well, you know, some of the other great wisdoms is when these challenges come or the bomb drops, it's a time of reflection to say, okay, have I been missing something here, Lord? I know I haven't been directly disobedient, but have I been faithful in that? And then you, without feeling like you're being punished, you have to almost be happy for what has just come your way.
Yeah.
Because you know there's going to be a revelation of growth and added happiness. Now, you got to experience this enough times to feel that, I think. I see you smiling as I'm saying it because we both have experienced it, and a lot of the listeners have. And brothers, if you haven't, there are other brothers that have.
And that's the key, is that when we start to find out, we start hanging around, we start finding out that we are not alone in this sort of thing. So we'll be able to do what it says in James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So, you know, trusting in the Lord, that's really what it comes down to. Trust in Him, for He knows exactly. He's the manufacturer of us, so He knows exactly how we are to be working. So let Him have His way with you. All right, brother. Good topic.
Yes.
Look where it ended up.
Yes.
Positive. How about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that your word, as in 2 Timothy 4:7, would just jump out and know that we're to finish this race and keep the faith. And that for those brothers that are currently struggling with some adversity, that you would remind them of that comfort and that hope as they reside in you. In your precious name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you shalom. Brother, there is hope, and you are definitely not alone.